Yeah, so I'm very happy to have this chance to do some meditation with all of you. And I don't know most of you, so I don't know what kind of background you may have, if you've done meditation before or if you're completely brand new. So I'm planning to just start from the basics, assuming that there are at least some people who are new to meditation. Part of this session, part of the time I'll be talking and explaining meditation, and part of the time we'll do some meditation together. I won't have you meditate for a long period of time. It'll be short. That's best for the beginning. So, my knowledge of meditation is limited to Buddhism and mainly Tibetan Buddhism. Meditation isn't exclusive to Buddhism. We do find ways of practicing meditation in other religions and other spiritual traditions like Hinduism and Christianity, Judaism. So probably every religion, every spiritual tradition has some form of something that is like meditation. So I'll be restricting my talk to Tibetan Buddhism mainly. And the word for meditation in Tibetan language is gom, which has the meaning of familiar. So the real meaning or purpose of practicing meditation in Buddhism is to make our mind familiar with something. So what is that something? It's positive states of mind, positive states of mind. Because our mind, unfortunately, is more familiar with states of mind that are not so positive. I mean, everyone's different, of course. Everybody has their own mind and their own experiences. But for example, anger and feelings of aversion and dislike and irritation. So most people's minds are quite familiar with those kinds of experiences, and those are not positive. They're they're unpleasant, they're disturbing. Our mind gets disturbed when that kind of thing is going on. And also it can be disturbing for other people, because if we get caught up in anger and irritation, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we treat other people, it can, be hurtful, unpleasant for them as well. And they may also become irritated. Anyway, so we may make a lot of other people irritated as well, just as we are. So that's just one example of a state of mind that's not positive. And I heard that in yesterday's session, some of you expressed interest in learning how to deal with anxiety and stress and trauma. So those are other experiences that happen in our mind that are not positive, peaceful, pleasant. It's quite disturbing and painful. So our mind, the point I'm trying to make is that the natural state of our mind is that it's familiar, we are familiar with states of mind that are not so positive, not so pleasant and joyful. So the purpose of meditation in Buddhism is to make our minds familiar with more positive states of mind, such as joy, loving kindness, compassion, generosity, wisdom, understanding things correctly. Okay, so we do have those qualities already in our mind. Those are natural aspects of our mind. They're already there, but they tend to come and go. Sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not. And so the purpose of meditation is to make those positive states of mind more frequent. They're there, they are present in our mind more often. And eventually, we can get to the point where our mind is always positive, always in a positive state, and never disturbed by any unpleasant experience like irritation or anxiety. I mean, it takes a lot of time and work to get there. Don't expect it's going to happen in one weekend, but it is possible. And we can also see improvement as we go along. I can definitely say that when I think about my mind now compared with my mind when I was, you know, 16, 17, 18, even in my 20s. Oh my God. I'm so grateful to Buddhism for helping me to really bring about a big change in my mind. But there's a lot of more, you know, a lot more work I need to do on my mind. But at least I can see that it's possible. It is possible to work on our mind and change our mind and make it more positive and less negative. So that's the real purpose of meditation and Buddhism, is changing our mind so that we have more positive, pleasant, beautiful states of mind and less negative, unpleasant, painful states of mind. And the way of doing that is just making our minds familiar with these positive states of mind. So in meditation, we generate a positive state of mind, and then we try to keep that experience as long as possible, even if it's just a few seconds in the beginning, and then gradually a few minutes, and then maybe 10 minutes, and then 15 and 20. So more and more, you know, the longer we can, or the more frequently we can generate a positive state of mind and keep our mind positive, then the mind just naturally gets more familiar or habituated to those positive states of mind. And then that soon, you know, eventually that becomes like our default mode. Our default mode is to be happy and positive rather than unhappy and negative. So that's the general explanation of what meditation is all about. And just, you know, some people have kind of incorrect ideas about the purpose of meditation and Buddhism. I'll just mention these. It may not be the case for any of you, but it does happen sometimes that people think meditation is to get these really fantastic experiences, these really far out experiences, like going out of your body and traveling around the universe and having visions, attaining powers. That's not the purpose of meditation in Buddhism. Although those kind of experiences could happen, they can happen, but that's not the purpose. That's more of like a side effect of meditation. Because there's a danger that if we do have fantastic experiences, but we're still sort of full of our ego and our self-centeredness and our attachment, then we might start bragging and boasting to other people about these fantastic experiences we have. We might even write books about them or go on YouTube and talk about them and, you know, try to get lots of other people excited as well, maybe become famous and make a lot of money. So this can happen. And that's actually going down the wrong road. The real purpose of Buddhism is to become a nicer person, more kind, more compassionate, more helpful for others, more wise, more humble, not more arrogant and proud. And yeah, to genuinely help others as much as we can in our life, not to boost our own ego and our, you know, things like fame and gain and pride and so on. So anyway, just good to mention that. Okay, so we're going to do some meditation. I thought to first take you through a brief body scan to help relax, just in case any of you are not feeling relaxed. It's good to relax first before we do meditation. So we'll kind of do a body scan going through our body from the top down and just try to make sure our body's relaxed. And then we'll do some meditation on the breath, which is a kind of basic practice of meditation in Buddhism. Although it's actually something that you can continue using, you know, for a long, long time. It's a very helpful practice. especially to calm down the mind and learn to focus, learn to concentrate the mind, which is important because our mind, usually our mind is very scattered, very kind of all over the place and not easy to stay focused and concentrated. So meditation on the breath is a helpful method for training our mind to be more concentrated, more focused. So that's just an introduction, and then I'll guide you through it. And also one other introductory thing is the posture for meditation. Generally in Buddhism, like in Asia, most people meditate sitting cross-legged, which you're welcome to do if you can, if you wish. But it's also fine to meditate sitting on a chair. The most important thing when we are sitting and doing meditation is to try to sit up straight, try to keep the back straight rather than slouching or sitting kind of lopsided. So try to keep your back straight, and you can have your hands just resting in your lap in a comfortable way. And the head, the position of our head shouldn't be held up high or low, but just kind of in the normal position and slightly downwards. That's what's recommended. And the mouth and jaw should be relaxed. And ideally, you should try to breathe through your nose rather than your mouth, unless your nose is completely blocked up if you have a cold. But unless your nose is blocked up, try to breathe through your nose. So your mouth should be closed and just let your jaw and teeth be natural. Don't clench your teeth. And it's also recommended to put the tip of the tongue on the roof of the mouth behind the upper teeth. That's kind of a detail, but it does help to not need to swallow so much. Because, you know, if you get into a really focused state of mind, any movement can be a distraction, including swallowing. So it's nice not to have to swallow so much when you're meditating. So putting the tip of the tongue behind the upper teeth can help to reduce the flow of saliva, and then you don't have to swallow so much. So it's good to try to do that. And then the eyes, you probably feel more comfortable closing your eyes, because when we have our eyes open, it's hard not to be distracted by things that we see. But there's a slight danger if we do close our eyes that we might fall asleep. We don't want to fall asleep when we're meditating. We want to be able to stay awake and alert. So if you think you might fall asleep, a way to prevent that is keeping the eyes open just a little bit. Just enough so there's some light coming in, and that can help you to stay awake. And if you have your eyes looking down onto whatever's in front of you, your lap or table or whatever, just have your eyes, your gaze directed downwards. That way you won't be distracted by things that you see. And really just try to disengage from visual objects as much as you can, and instead go inside and, you know, focus more on what your mind is doing rather than things that you see or hear. So those are some of the points of the posture that it's good to keep in mind. So try to sit that way. And now I'm going to mention different parts of the body, starting with the top of the head. So when I mention a part of the body, put your awareness there and notice whatever sensations you might feel at that place. Just be aware of those sensations. And if you notice any tension, tightness, if you can just let it go, let it disappear, evaporate. You may not fully be able to do this. Some points of tension might be very stubborn and won't go away. And that's okay. Don't be upset about that. Just do the best you can to be relaxed and let go of as much tension as you can. If there's still some tension remaining, that's okay. Just let it be. So first, feel the top of your head. Relax the top of your head. And then move your awareness down into your forehead. Let your forehead relax. Be free of worry lines, wrinkles. Just let it be smooth and relaxed. Relax your eyes. All the muscles around the eyes, behind the eyes, let them relax. And then relax the rest of your face. Relax your mouth and jaw. Then feel the sides of your head, the right and left sides. If you notice any sensations there, relax any tension. And relax the back of your head. And then go inside of your head. If you notice any tension or tightness inside of your head, see if you can let that go. Let your head feel light and free of tension. And move your awareness down into your neck and throat. Relax any tension you may have there. And then move further down into your shoulders. The upper part of the back, shoulder blades, shoulder muscles. If there's any tension or tightness, see if you can let it go, let that area become more relaxed. And then move down into the middle part of your back, relaxing any tension there. And then the lower part of the back. So try to have the whole of your back as relaxed and free of tension as possible. Now shift your awareness to the front of your body, starting with the chest. Let your chest relax. Let your lungs and heart relax. Move further down into the abdominal area, your stomach, and the other internal organs. If there's any tension or tightness in that area, see if you can let it go, let it disappear. And also let Just let your breathing be natural. Don't force it or control it. Just let your body breathe as it normally does. For example, when you're sleeping, your body keeps breathing. So when you breathe, there should be some movement of your abdomen in and out with each breath. So just let that happen without interfering with it. And then bring your awareness further down into your pelvic area, hips, buttocks, pelvis. And let go of any tension in that area. Now move into the right leg. Your awareness down into the upper part of the right leg, the thigh. Relax any tension there. And relax your right knee. And then relax the right calf, the lower part of the leg. Relax your right ankle and foot. And toes. And let the whole of your right leg all the way down to the toes be as relaxed as possible. Now shift your awareness to the left leg, starting with the thigh. Relax your thigh. Then the left knee. Then the lower part of the left leg. And then relax the left ankle and foot. All the way down to the toes. Try to have the whole of the left leg all the way down to the toes as relaxed as possible. Now we'll do the right arm. Bring your awareness to the upper part of your right arm. Relax any tension you may have there. Do the same with the right elbow and lower part of the arm. Right hand and fingers. And finally, the left arm. Bring your awareness to the upper part of your left arm. Relax any tension there. And then the lower part of the left arm. Finally, your left hand and fingers. So try to keep your body as relaxed and free of tension as possible for the remaining time that we are meditating. Now we'll switch our awareness to the breathing. So again, just let your breathing flow naturally in and out. try not to control your breathing. There's no need to do that. And there's different ways you can be aware of your breathing. One is at the abdomen, the movement of the abdomen in and out with each breath. Another place that people sometimes use is the nostrils, the openings of the nostrils. That's the place where the air is coming in and going out. You may be able to feel the sensations as the air is passing in and out of the nostrils or on the upper lip. So different people have different experiences. So just try to find what works best for you, which place you can feel the breath most easily, naturally. And then just let your awareness rest at that place and be aware of the sensations as you're breathing in and breathing out. Try to stay attentive to the full cycle of inhalation and exhalation of each breath, one breath after another. While doing this, other thoughts might pop up in your mind, or you may hear sounds and your attention may get distracted. But as soon as you notice that, as soon as you notice your mind has gone away from the breath to anything else, gently bring it back to the breath. And don't worry if you have to keep doing this again and again. It's natural. It's very hard to keep our mind focused on just one thing like the breath. So don't worry if it's challenging. Your mind keeps running away. Just gently, patiently bring it back to the breath. You may find it helpful to count. So one way of doing that is to say to yourself, breathing in, breathing out, one, breathing in, breathing out, two, and so on. If you're beginning with meditation, just count up to five and then go back to one. So count in rounds of five. If you've meditated before and you're more experienced, you can count up to 10 and then go back to one. So this is optional. You don't have to count, but it can be helpful to keep your mind focused on the breath. So let's try that for maybe 5 minutes, and then I'll ring the bell. remember, just keep bringing your mind back to the breath whenever it wanders away. Try to do this with kindness and patience towards yourself rather than being impatient and frustrated. One meditation teacher compared this kind of practice to training a puppy to sit. Maybe some of you have had that experience. You know how puppies are. They're just so full of energy and they just want to play and they don't want to sit still. They just want to look for things to play with and chew on and so on. So they're just kind of all over the place. And you want to train the puppy to sit. So you say, sit. The puppy will sit maybe for 1 second, and then it will jump up and want to play again. And again, sit. So you have to keep bringing the puppy back and training it to understand that command, sit, sit, sit. So it's a bit like that with our mind. The natural state of our mind is like the little puppy, you know, just so active, so full of energy all over the place. Looking for things to play with, things that are interesting and exciting. So our minds are just not used to staying focused on one thing for more than a few seconds. That's just the way it is. And so we are trying to train our mind to stay focused on one thing, the breath. So it's like we're telling our mind, sit, stay with the breath, and then it runs away, come back, sit, stay with the breath. So I like that analogy because, you know, that's the way our mind is. It is like a little puppy. And also, if you want to train a puppy, you have to do it with kindness. You don't start hitting the puppy over the head with a stick, beating it. That's not the way to train it. You have to be kind and patient, but firm at the same time. So that's the attitude we need to have with ourselves, with our mind. If we start beating ourselves up because our mind doesn't stay still, that's not going to help. The mind just doesn't know any better. It just hasn't learned how to stay focused. And we're trying to teach it that. So the best way to do that is with kindness, with patience, with compassion. Just keep doing it. And eventually, the mind will learn how to do that. Any questions? If any of you have a question, you could raise your hand. Let me see a hand. Yes.
So my husband, oh, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My husband has ADHD and has concerns about being able to focus during meditation. What are some steps that he could take to get the same benefits, but with a shorter attention span?
Sorry, you say your husband has
ADHD.
And yeah. He wants to meditate? Is that what you said?
Yeah, he has difficulty paying attention for very long periods of time. And so just sitting and trying to meditate is very, very difficult for him. Mm-hmm. Are there different types of meditation that he can do? Or
There are other kinds of meditation. This course is quite short. We only have a few days. But there are. I just remembered one time I was teaching a meditation class, and I was teaching different kinds of meditations. And we started with this one, you know, meditation on the breath. And then I taught another kind of meditation practice that involves visualization. And afterwards, one woman said, oh, that was so helpful. She said she was a smoker and, had this habit of smoking. And when we were doing meditation on the breath, she just kept thinking about smoking, wanting to smoke. But when we did the visualization meditation, she was able to get into that and, you know, get involved in the visualization and then didn't think so much about smoking. So that's just one person's experience. And I don't really know, you know, what is the state of mind of someone with it. We all have, actually, everybody has ADHD. Maybe some people have it worse than others, but it's something everybody has. It's just the natural state of our mind. Apparently, some scientists did research on human attention span and concluded that, on average, a human being is able to keep their mind focused on one thing for about 4 or 5 seconds. That's normal. So maybe, you know, someone with ADHD can only do it for 2 or 3 seconds. But, you know, all of us are not much better than that. It's just natural that our minds are constantly here and there. So it's just a question of retraining, reprogramming our mind. And like I said, with a puppy, you know, you just have to keep telling the puppy to sit. And eventually the puppy will learn to do that. So if we, you know, keep trying to focus on one thing, and, in the beginning, it's better not to try to do that for very long. I mean, we did it for 5 minutes, but you can be shorter. 1 minute. You can try meditating for just 1 minute or 2 minutes. And then gradually you can increase the amount of time. So maybe, I don't know if that is helpful.
Thank you.
But yeah, there are other kinds of meditations that he could try that might work better. And for some people, just sitting still, just to keep the body sitting still could be quite challenging. So just doing that, just try to sit still and not move. And I find it personally really helpful to do that body scan, you know, that going through the body, relaxing the body. That itself helps, you know, to be more still. If we can be more still physically, our body, then it's easier for our mind to be more still. But if our body is still restless, agitated, then it's harder for the mind to be still as well. And yeah, so there are different kinds of meditation, and I did want to lead another one just to give you an idea. One kind of meditation we do We do this a lot in the Tibetan tradition, but I think every Buddhist tradition would have it to a certain extent. It's more reflective or contemplative thinking. We use thinking, thought, to think about certain things in order to understand them better. Like the Buddha gave a lot of teachings. He taught for like 45 years. There's a lot of things the Buddha talked about. And we need to think about the things that he talked about to understand them and look at how we can relate to them and how we can put them into practice in our life. So sometimes we use thinking, we use thought to understand the Buddhist teachings. But also this kind of meditation can be used to deal with our disturbing emotions, our afflictive emotions, like I was saying earlier about anger, attachment, and so on. These are not going to just go away by themselves. But there are things we can do to change our way of thinking so that they decrease and we learn to think and see things in a more positive way. So because I heard that some of you had expressed interest in learning how to deal with anxiety and anxiety and stress. So I thought to lead a kind of thinking meditation, and we call it analytical meditation. That's the official term, that could help deal with anxiety and stress. Because what happens with our mind when we have anxiety, fear, and so on, our mind tends to think in ways that are not necessarily helpful. We sometimes exaggerate things, make them bigger than they really are. We may fantasize. We don't do this deliberately. I don't think anyone does this deliberately. I mean, you could if you wanted to, but I think it's just an automatic process. We may sometimes fantasize things like worst case scenarios. Oh, this terrible thing is going to happen to me. And, you know, it can seem like it's definitely going to happen and there's no way around it. And I'm just so scared when it's going to happen and da da da. So our mind just goes on a trip like that. And that makes us scared, anxious. And so it's helpful if we can sit down and just look at what's going on in our mind and ask ourselves, is this true or not? Is this realistic or not? And we can sometimes recognize where our mind is exaggerating, fantasizing. It's also helpful to ask ourselves, okay, this might happen, this terrible thing might happen, but is there anything I can do about it? Is there something I can do to stop it from happening, to prevent it from happening? Or if it does happen, are there things I can do to manage it so that it's not so terrible? So it's like using our intelligence to look at our fears and our anxieties. And that is so helpful. That can be incredibly helpful. So I see some of you nodding your heads. So let's do a meditation on that. I'll talk more, and I'll be kind of guiding you along in doing this. And just try to stay focused and follow along as I'm talking and see what happens. So once again, make yourselves comfortable. Try to keep your back straight. But at the same time, try to be relaxed as much as possible. And let your breathing flow in and out. And if you have other thoughts going on that aren't related to what we're doing right now, like you might be thinking about something you're doing later today, put that aside for now. Decide to just stay focused on what we're doing right now. Now, bring to mind something you are worried about or anxious about. Maybe not something really huge, like dying of COVID, that might be too difficult to deal with. Bring to mind something smaller, like, oh, I have to go and meet somebody and I'm worried I might be late. Yeah, something kind of small-sized or medium-sized. Now, try to step back from this fear, this anxiety, so that you're not all caught up in it, and you can look at it objectively. And ask yourself, what is this fear all about? What am I really afraid of? What am I really anxious about? Is it some terrible thing that might happen and I'm worried that it will happen? Now ask yourself, is it 100% sure that it will happen? Or is it just possible that it might happen, but it might not happen? And then ask yourself, are there things that you can do to prevent it from happening? Are there preventative measures you can take to at least try to protect yourself from it happening? Try to stop it from happening? Just ask yourself that. And if you discover that there are things you can try to do to prevent it from happening, then make the decision to do those things. Put your time and energy into doing those things that will prevent this awful thing from happening. But it's possible that even if you do try to prevent it from happening, it might still happen. So if that's the case, are there things you can do to mentally prepare yourself for it? Building up your courage, asking for help from other people. There might be people out there who can help you to manage this frightening situation so you don't have to go through it all by yourself. There may also be some skills you can learn that will help you to manage this experience if it happens. It can also be helpful to think that other people have been through that experience and they managed to get through it. They managed to survive. It was okay. So if they were able to do that, I can too. So if you use that method with smaller problems, like being anxious about being late for something, then gradually you can do it for bigger problems that you may be anxious about, and even eventually the really big ones, the huge ones. Other things that can help with anxiety are relaxation, just being more relaxed in the body and breathing deeply. A certain type of breathing is really helpful. Breathing in slowly and deeply, and then breathing out slowly. Kind of a long, slow exhalation. So physiologically, that activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest system, as opposed to the fight and flight response, which is the sympathetic nervous system, I think. Anyway, it definitely works. I've tried it in situations where I've been anxious, and it really does help to calm down. And then when you're more calm physically, then your mind can be more calm and can think better, can think more clearly. Okay, what's going on here? Is there something I can do? So you can kind of function better mentally and deal with situations. Okay, we got a few minutes if anyone has a question.
Two questions have come in through the chat box. Do you want me to read it out then?
I can read it. I meditated for the first time 2 years ago by accident at work in the Hollywood area. You mentioned that some people become famous and get powers. Since this experience, I've had guiding voices and experiences as thoughts and synchronicities to attain this, but it has been dark and experienced as evil and being in hell. I've been trying to meditate little by little since then to be more positive. Yeah, people do have different kinds of experiences when they practice meditation. Some of these experiences might be nice, like seeing things or feeling things or, you know, something pleasant. But yeah, people do sometimes have experiences that can be unpleasant or even scary or frightening. And apparently it's kind of normal in a way that, I mean, it does happen. And what the meditation teachers advise is don't take it too seriously. Don't take any of these experiences very seriously and start getting scared about the unpleasant ones or getting excited about the pleasant ones. They are temporary. They are transitory. They come and go. So we shouldn't be too worried about them. Try to just ignore them. But if that doesn't happen, if they don't just disappear by themselves, if they keep coming back, it could be helpful to seek help from a teacher, somebody more experienced in meditation, or even a therapist. So let me think about this, and I'll also ask Venerable Chudrin if she has some ideas on how to deal with this one. It does sound like it's something that's been going on for a couple of years, but it is helpful not to be worried about it and not to let your mind start thinking, oh, maybe it's the devil, maybe it's an evil spirit who's, you know, trying to take over and things like that. Don't let your mind get carried away with that kind of thought. It could be something just quite normal and natural, and it will go away by itself. So I think we have to stop here. We've come to the end of our time.
Thank you, Venerable Khadra.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.